This is the Dealer News Today podcast, the podcast for automotive executives and the professionals who support them.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to Dealer News Today. You're here. I'm here. It's a good thing. This is episode 3 of season 6. It's our 6th season. Wow, it's just crazy. But you could catch up on all those past shows and seasons by going to dealernewstoday.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, hit us up on social media at Dealer News Today. I am your host, Derek D. If you're like, wait, why does that sound familiar? Well, you could go to derekd.com to find out more. But now let's find out some more about our guest on today's episode. He's actually been on DNT before, so he's already a pro. He's been in the auto industry for many, many, many years. He proudly talks about not getting into medical school and that spreadsheets are his thing, not scalpels. He's extremely accomplished, MBA from Arizona State University, worked in finance in France. Finance in France. I just thought this sounds like it could be like a rom-com movie title about two accountants who fall in love or something. But anyway, he worked as the CFO for the Olympic Games at Salt Lake City. His resume goes on and on. He is the CEO of Ken Garf Automotive Group. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back for the second time, Brett Hopkins.
Wow, thanks, Derek. Big intro. I appreciate it. And super, super thankful that you had me back. So thanks for that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I remember last time you were on the show, you were definitely a lot of fun to have, which is good because it's always good to have people who are energetic and engaged on the show. I mean, this is sort of a niche subject, so got to make it interesting and have fun, you know?
And you got to have fun. That's why you wake up in the morning.
Exactly.
At work, at home. I mean, life is fun. Work is fun. So I enjoy that and work hard, play hard, laugh hard. So thanks for recognizing the fun.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. I mean, you got to love what you do and you got to have fun doing it. You know, I mean, yeah, there's going to be ups and downs, but you know, that's just the way it is. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Again, this is Brett Hopkins, CEO of Ken Garf Automotive Group. It's his second time on Dealer News Today. His first time, I think, was over a year ago. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, you didn't get into medical school and you were all like, you know, I like the spreadsheets more than the scalpel.
I forgot about that. We talked about all my failures.
No, your successes definitely outweigh your failures. That's for sure. I mean, MBA from Arizona State University, worked in Paris, CFO of the Olympic Games in Salt Lake City, considered a finance expert, and loves a good spreadsheet.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Failures, but some good learnings in there and some good career evolution. It's been a great ride.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you were on our first episode of season 4. And here you are on episode 3,
wow.
Season 6.
Congratulations.
So,
6
yes,
seasons.
To you.
You're killing it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's crazy. 6 seasons. So first, let me just ask you, how you been since the last time we spoke? I think it was, like a year ago, February of 2022.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for asking. I've been doing great. I pinch myself every morning. I've got a great job and a great industry, great team. And, you know, it doesn't come without its stressors, which primarily comes from the news.
Sure.
Not just global news, but also, you know, economic news and just some crazy, crazy times here, you know, 3 years post pandemic. And it just seems like the economy is just defying gravity. And, you know, it's got some serious challenges, but consumers are out, they're surviving and they're out spending and they're dealing with some of the changes that, you know, the market is throwing their way. And so business has been super fun. And, you know, business is down, but we knew it was going to go down, didn't go down as much as we thought. So that's been great. And the industry has some serious disruptors it's still dealing with: electrification, autonomous driving, digital retail, and trying to tackle those.
Sure.
And, you know, we're doing some great things with our culture. We're having record low turnover, which we talked a little bit about that last time. It's one of the most satisfying things ever when your employees see value in your company and they're sticking around. They're not going elsewhere for a job. And, you know, they're enjoying the wins, but they're also enjoying the challenges, and they're buckling up and trying to solve some of the problems that we have. And so our team is, you know, highest tenure we've ever had. Our average pay is the highest it's ever been. We're making some progress on our women empowerment initiatives. I mean, I go on and on and on, but generally we're doing awesome. And every morning I just wake up and I've got a good friend who shared the motto, every day is a gift. And it truly is. And there's fun to be had out in the workplace. There's things to learn. There's events to celebrate. And so I'm doing amazing. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, glad to hear. And good to hear you're doing so well. Good to hear your employees are, you know, happy and taking challenges head on. That's always good to hear, because that's how you grow. I mean, you know, piggybacking off of what you just said, my motto is kind of just one day at a time. You know, I it sounds cliche, but honestly, I literally just live my life that way. Like, I mean, yeah, you got to plan for the future and things like that, blah, 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 blah. Get it. But like really just trying to live in present moments and taking advantage of, you know, what I do for a living and being present and enjoying it. I mean, I was just in Spain for a week shooting a Volkswagen commercial. Like, wow. I was just like, what am I doing here? Like, I mean, I know how I got there. I know, work hard and I audition and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's just every day is a gift, every day, you know, one day at a time. And you know, definitely on the same page there. So that's good.
Yeah, that's great. It's great.
Yeah. So you did say that it's business is down a little bit right now, and you kind of knew that was going to happen. I mean, because it was crazy how much it was up for so long. You know, what are some of the things you think contributed to that? And is it down in comparing to what it was when it was so crazy after the, you know, pandemic or during the pandemic? Or are you comparing that to before the pandemic?
So business is down from pandemic highs.
Okay, but yeah, that's what
business is up compared to pre-pandemic norm.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, some of our challenges today is that, you know, interest rates are up. And so that has an impact with our consumers' ability to purchase cars, finance cars, what their payment is. And so that's a negative.
Is that because inflation, basically?
That's what the Fed's just continuing to raise the rates to try and control inflation. And so that's a challenge. Those increased interest rates also impact our expenses, because, you know, we have $800 million of inventory out there that's on a line of credit. This is pretty standard for all dealerships. And so we're paying a lot more in interest expense today than we've paid in years and years and years.
Oh, really?
So that comes off our bottom line. And the other thing that for our company that's up is just, you know, the costs associated with our culture. And we've had to increase our wages. We've had to increase benefits. We have some increases in insurance that we have to, you know, absorb. So we can, you know, walk the talk in terms of who we say we are as a culture of treating people right, promoting work-life balance with our employees. We want, you know, we promote high tenure and, you know, low turnover, and that comes, you know, that comes at a cost. And so those are some of the challenges. Now there's also some tailwinds, which is just pent up demand. And every day we're learning more about the impact of the shutdown with the pandemic and how demand just started to stack up and grow and grow and grow. And that demand is still, that crazy demand is still being relieved as consumers get out and they're looking to purchase cars, they're looking to service their cars. And it's trying to get still relieved through a bottleneck because we don't have enough technicians to you know, handle all the appointments. And so sometimes you call our stores and you want to get in the next day and you find you can't get in for 30 days. And you're like, what? I'm not trying to see the doctor here. I'm just trying to get my car fixed. And I tell you, I get more calls from friends just saying, hey, can you help me get into service? Now, before I used to get calls saying, hey, can you help me buy a car? But now they're all, can you help me get into service? And so we're seeing that on the service side. And then on the retail, on the purchasing side, there's still just a lot of pent up demand. carried over from, you know, the pandemic of people needing to get out and buy their new cars and buy their used cars. And so there has been some relief with supply with some of our manufacturers. But it's not,
I was going to ask you about that.
It's not across the board. You know, we have really big dealerships right now that if you drive up to, we got 10 new cars for sale. And typically we'd have 300, 400.
Wow.
Then we have some dealerships that have 100. And so it's getting better, but it's still not back to where it was. And so for us, when I say, you know, we're kind of defying, you know, the auto industry is still kind of defying gravity and that it's still pretty good, better than pre-pandemic. It's because the demand is still greater than the supply.
Right.
Those two have not yet aligned yet in our industry. And so that's allowing those tailwinds to kind of extend themselves and help us overcome some of the headwinds tied to raising interest rates, inflation, and wages.
Yeah. And that's across the board, right? That's obviously not just your dealerships. That's everyone's dealing with that. Every dealership.
It's everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, if I want to compete with Target, Walmart, you know, McDonald's, I have to raise my wages. Otherwise, you know, I can have a very technical job in a car dealership and someone can go down to the local Wendy's and make more money, you know, flipping burgers.
Yeah.
And so we have what's called a GARF minimum wage. And we look at that on a regular basis and we have to keep increasing it. And we're nearing $20. And that's just where we need to be to compete with the talent that we're looking for out in the marketplace. And so
I think you have to do that too, but it's good. It's good on you to do that for sure.
No, it costs us more money today, but it pays in the long run. You know,
right.
In the dealership world, wages make up about, you know, 50% of your total expense. And so when that huge line item is growing at a pretty good inflation rate, but your margins are staying flat, that's just, you know, your wage increases are just eating into your bottom line. But where you win in the long run is you're not turning over your people so quickly. And so you're saving money there. But you got to have that long run vision to make the decision right now today, you know, to raise the wages to keep your turnover down and to keep your talent at Ken Garf.
Yeah. And keep, right. That's what I was about to say. What you just said, keep the talent there, keep the people that are good workers there, not going somewhere else. And, you know, you're staying up with that. I know it definitely affects your bottom line, but it's the good way to do business.
Yeah.
It's the way you have to do it. And kudos for you for doing that. And, you know, and the supply and demand you said is still pretty crazy. Is it ever going to get back? And we might have talked about this before because I've talked about this on the show a lot with dealers and dealer owners. Is it going to be where you need to get as many of those brand new cars on the lot, or there's going to be a happy medium from what it was before to having not as many now? Like you don't need as many cars on the lot as you have in the past before the pandemic. Right?
Well,
do you think that's not the case?
I mean, I think the question you're going with is it ever going to get back to what it was pre-pandemic? And I think
does it need to?
Like,
is my question.
But yeah, like never say never. So the challenge is we don't control that. The manufacturers control that. And so our hope as a retailer, you know, running 63 dealerships is that the inventory stays balanced.
63.
That it doesn't get excessive. But you got to remember the manufacturer gets paid when they sell us a car and therefore load up our inventory. So right now it's staying balanced, it's staying controlled, mostly because we just can't get the chips. I mean, these cars are so technically advanced, you know, they require hundreds, sometimes thousands of chips.
Yeah, and the chips are still a shortage, right?
There's still a shortage. I mean, 5 years ago, you build a car and you put 2, 3, 4 chips in them. Now you build these advanced cars or you're putting thousands of chips in them.
Yep.
And so that's still a real limiter and it's still a hurdle the manufacturers are unable to get over. And so they have no choice but to keep the inventories pretty tight. Personally, I think it works for us and it works for them, because what happens when they have to load up those inventories is they have to then promote to move those cars. So their incentive money starts to stack up and get pretty expensive that they give to the consumer to move the cars. And when the inventories are right and the demand is selling those cars, they don't have to spend all that incentive money. And so that drops down to their bottom line. So it's in our best interest if we can keep this thing balanced, if we can prevent it going back to pre-pandemic levels. And right now we are keeping it balanced, but the reason is because just nobody can get chips.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize the chip shortage was still that much of a big deal. I knew the supply and demand on the cars was, but I thought maybe the chip situation was getting, and I mean, I'm sure it's gotten a little better. And I know they're building plants here in the US finally, and not just depending on what was it in Taiwan? Most of them came from Taiwan, right?
That's right. I mean, one of the largest chip manufacturers from Taiwan, but all these manufacturers source their chips from, you know, from different providers, some the same provider. But as you think about it, the ability to produce chips worldwide is growing, but the demand by the auto industry is still outpacing the growth in supply, especially as we move more and more to electrification.
Oh yeah, it's even more so. I mean, cars were already driving computers basically, and now we got EVs. It's a whole next level.
It's a whole next level.
It's a computer with wheels, you know. It's an iPhone with wheels.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, and it's kind of fascinating as well. Like that's so advanced. But you said before 63 dealerships, and those are all different brands, correct?
They're all different brands. I mean, we have multiple Toyota stores, Ford stores, Honda stores, but
sure.
At Ken Garf, we pretty much have every brand out there except just a few. But we try to have a diversified portfolio of brands and diversified regions. And so, yeah, we're up to 63 and with any luck, we'll push that a little higher this year.
Yeah. I mean, you live in Utah, right? And isn't it? The most of them are based in that area, or?
So that's right. So we are headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is where I sit right now, looking up at the beautiful mountains with snow on the top. And about, nice.
I was there in October.
Oh, sweet, sweet. About 35% of our portfolio is in Utah.
Okay.
We celebrated 90 years in business just last year. So we're working on our 91st year. And
wow,
so
congrats.
We are family owned, third generation. But yeah, it was Ken Garf 90 years ago started the company right here in downtown Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, definitely have grown a lot, 63 dealerships, and you're the CEO of all of them. This is a question. Any brands doing better than others in the sense of the supply and demand, like are you getting more Fords than you are Chevy? You're getting more Mazdas than you are Hondas. Is there anything that sticks out brand wise that they're doing things better than others?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
or Toyota maybe.
Each one of these brands is different, and they all go, you know, they all go up and down. Based on many factors, you know, in terms of their plants, production capacity, ability to get chips, ability to get other parts, because there's other parts of the supply chain that have been stressed. Right now, you'll see the South Koreans are doing a great job in production and managing all that. And by South Koreans, I mean the Hyundais and the Kias of the world.
Yep.
And they've got great product, and they're on a nice little run right now. Toyota, which has always been at the top of the mountain, great company, probably one of the best in the world in the auto space, is having some real challenges right now with production. Ford, Chevy, GM, you know, they're pretty consistent with where they've been. They're not way down. They're not way up. I was just talking to our Cadillac store down in Houston today, and Cadillac's got some great product, and there's a lot of demand for Cadillac, and they're unable to keep up with it. And we just don't have the cars. Stellantis, which is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, everybody in the industry knows they're a bit of a challenge. And they're producing cars, but they're managing chips a little bit differently in that the limited chips they have, they're putting them more in the base models. And when consumers come in, they don't want the base models, meaning they want the sunroof, they want the lane assist, they want the backup cameras, but all those, they want the heated seats, but all those amenities require chips. And, you know, with their limitation on chips, they're producing more base models and the consumers don't want those. So they're tending to sit.
Is the process there that the base model is cheaper, so more people, it's easier to buy? That's the thought process?
It's easier to buy. I mean, first of all, it's easier to produce. It doesn't require as many chips. But then you get them into the dealerships and the customer comes in and says, you know, oh, I want this car. But, oh, geez, you only have the base model. They're not so interested. And they'll leave and go buy a different brand. And and so there's a different story really behind each manufacturer. But again, you've got some that, you know, Honda's doing much better this year with production and feeding inventory into their dealerships. Last year was a real challenge, but they worked that out. And so it's not like everyone's just naturally getting better with time. You've got some going up and some going down. It's still real a mixed bag.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact you have so many dealerships, it will kind of balance each other out, I think. But I was always curious about which brands are doing better than others, you know, navigating the supply and demand and everything that's been going on. You mentioned before, and we talked about it, 63 dealerships and maybe a couple more soon. How are acquisitions looking? I mean, mergers and acquisitions were on fire the last few years. Is that still the same, or is that, you know, dying down a bit?
No, it's pretty steady. There's a lot of sellers out there. You know, we just came off some amazing years, and so you have sellers trying to market their dealerships based on those amazing years. Then as you look forward still at some of the uncertainty around the economy, uncertainty around the transition to electrification, there's a lot of dealers that don't want to take on that risk. So they're also, you know, trying to get out. You've out of the space. You've got our manufacturer partners who are, as they launch more electric vehicles, they put more infrastructure requirements on the dealer. In terms of investments you need to make around chargers, around special tools, we even need to have, you know, the ability to equip all of our service departments with the ability to plug cars in. And so, you know, we have quite a few Ford stores, and to retool them to keep up with Ford's electrification initiatives, we got to spend $1.5 million per Ford store.
Jeez.
And that adds up, you know, when you have seven of those stores and like you're used to spending zero on electrification. And so a lot of existing dealers are seeing that and just not wanting to participate. And so,
yeah, not want to deal with it.
Yeah. And so that makes that buy sell, market still pretty active out there. And, we have lots of opportunities come, you know, through our office really on a weekly basis. And one thing that Bob Garf, our second generation leader, always taught us is we just don't want to grow for growth's sake. We want to be strategic. We want it to make sense. So we're pretty
have purpose.
It's got to have purpose. And we kind of say right franchise, right market. They got to have, you know, right culture, right customer base. The pricing has to be right. We're pretty dang picky. You know, if we wanted to, we could sure grow a heck of a lot faster than we do, but we're pretty dang picky, about how we do it. And so we do a lot of shopping before we find something and go to the checkout stand and actually buy it. But yeah, we're still active in that arena with good throughput in terms of deals we can look at.
Good. Well, I think you should be picky. You know, it's you're not just out there just gobbling up everything. You want to make sure it's the right fit. And you know, I do feel like, because obviously Ken Garf Auto Group is a big auto group with a lot of dealers. I feel like what you were saying, there might be, you know, smaller dealership groups out there, or just, you know, a one rooftop, two, three, that are exactly what you're saying. They're like, well, we don't want to throw millions of dollars into the whole electrification thing. Maybe we'll just sell and move, you know, move into something else. And I feel like bigger auto groups, you know, will acquire those dealerships that are thinking that and wanting to sell.
Yeah. I mean, the consolidation movement of bigger groups buying out the independents continues. There was every now and then there's a bit of a slowdown with the Publix because the pricing is going up. I mean, just generally it's going up. So these things yeah. are much more expensive, which means the return on investment's going down and the capital required to improve a lot of these things you buy is also going up. They just came out with the national ranking and Kengar finished number 9 in the country in size among privates and publics. And so we're proud about that. And, you know, it's just like investing in the market, buying a mutual fund, an index fund. I mean, diversification is the key. And that's yeah. how you have stability and, you know, continuous, you know, profits through the years, because there's always going to be manufacturers going up and down. And so diversification is really key to longevity, key to consistency, stability. And that's really important that we stay focused on that and maintained our quest for diversification.
Yeah, well, I think you have. And I mean, it shows in, you know, in your business and the amount of, you know, dealerships you have and the loyalty of your workers and the tenure of your workers and the charitable organizations you do. So it all makes sense. So I appreciate you sharing all that and coming on the show again. It's really been, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff. I do have one more question though, before we go. You got any good dad jokes for us? Cause I remember I said last time, you know, you said you had some dad jokes.
Oh man, last time you asked me about that, and I'm not a rehearser on the dad jokes. You know, I kind of told you I'm just naturally funny.
Yeah.
And I feel very strongly about that. And most of my jokes are based on sarcasm. So my wife Good. Is getting on me on a regular basis. But yeah, you always put me on the spot with a good joke and I kind of make them up as we go. It's got to be natural, but I'm trying to see where was I really funny yesterday. And I was funny yesterday. This isn't a joke, but I'm going to tell you in 30 seconds. I've got a son I'm very proud of. He's turned 20 and he's looking for an internship. And I had all these wonderful, sophisticated ideas for him. And he's like, Dad, I want to do window washing. I'm like, seriously, you're going to do a window washer? Okay, let me get behind that. And so I named his window company Shirtless Windows, which I thought was an amazing idea. And I said, son, you can have a rate to wash the windows with your shirt on, and you can have a higher rate if you wash them with your shirt off.
Now that's smart.
Especially I thought if that he's was amazing. Shape. My wife got wind of it and she quickly shut it down. And I don't think it made it into his business plan, but.
I like it, man. That's a good hook.
Yeah. It's got to be memorable. And I mean, window washing is competitive, and why not take your shirt off if you're 20 years old and you're going to be doing it anyways. You might as well market it. But no,
yeah, if it's hot out and you got abs,
you
got
to have fun. But I'm not a standard joke teller. But next time we talk, I've got to get my assistant to remind me I've got to have a joke and I will be better prepared. So
I'll ask you right at the top.
So I can demonstrate to your listeners how funny I actually am, because I truly think I'm funny in spite of what my daughters and my wife think. I trust me, Derek, I'm very funny.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, it comes across, especially when we're talking before we were on the air. But I got one for you. So say you're going on like a road trip or something. You could say to everyone in the car, be like, strap in for all the dad jokes, because I got a whole dad base of them. Okay. Yeah. And I could throw something out there like that.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, dad a base of dad, jokes.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Absolutely. Brett, this has been great, man. Great to have you on for a second time. We covered a lot of stuff, had some fun, and I appreciate all the insight. And a lot of dealerships out there that listen to the show definitely will take some advice and get some good information from listening to this episode.
Thanks for doing what you do, too. I appreciate you not just letting us tell our story, but you let others tell their story. And, you know, I've been from that as well. Listening and learning. So appreciate what you're doing, spreading the word, educating all of us. You know, we're all in this together to try and win. And there's definitely enough out there to allow us all to win. So I love the sharing of ideas and concepts and what people are seeing. So thanks for doing what you're doing. It definitely helps.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Brett. It's been awesome. You go enjoy the beautiful weather out there in Utah.
Okay, I'll try and do it. Chat with you later.
All right, Brett. Thanks, man.
All right, be good.
You too. That was Brett Hopkins, everybody, the CEO of Ken Garf Auto Group. 63 dealerships in total, and it looks like there is more on the way. For more information on Brett and their dealerships, head over to kengarf.com. That's Garf with two Fs. Now, if you run into Brett at one of his dealerships, you know, tell him you heard him on DNT and you want to hear a dad joke or two. All right. Anyway, that will do it for this episode. Follow us on social media at Dealer News Today. I am your host, Derek D, DerekD.com for all my stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, this is Dealer News Today.